Christ has entered not into a sanctuary made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord is risen.
Come, let us adore him.
Alleluia.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. They laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing him tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believers in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Of John. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor the scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
reading from the Gospel according to St. John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So a little context to the gospel first. So this is called Good Shepherd Sunday. And the readings from the 10th chapter of John's gospel basically focus on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And they're divided. The first part is read in what we call year A. The second part is read in what we call year B, and the third part, which I just read, is read in what we call year C. So we have year A, B, and C, and we kind of divide the readings up that way. To my way of thinking, this is just me, to my way of thinking, all three of those readings need to be read on Good Shepherd Sunday because they all flow together, and it just makes more sense, I think, logically when you're hearing it. So early in chapter 10, and our reading was from chapter 10, early in chapter 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. And he talks about how the good shepherd protects the sheep. He talks about how thieves and bandits do not like the good shepherd because the good shepherd protects the sheep from thieves and bandits. Today, we read that at that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. And so the festival of the dedication is the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. Hanukkah. I don't know what that sound is referred to as. Hanukkah. Okay. So he's there. It's a festival. John tells us it was winter, so the season certainly was winter, but John is referring not so much to the season as to the spiritual season, if you will. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. And so the portico in the temple, the portico is an enclosed kind of walkway. So when you start on one end, you have to kind of go all the way to the other end. There's no way to get out otherwise. And so the Jews gathered around him. And John's not talking about all the Jews. He's talking about the Jewish leadership, or at least part of the Jewish leadership. Because what's happened earlier in chapter 10 is that they've tried to trick him and they've tried to trap him. And that's what they're doing right now. And so they surround him in the portico. He can't get out, right? Because he's in this enclosed walkway. And they say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." So what they're doing is they're trying to trap him, because if he blasphemes, I guess, enough, then they can take him to the Sanhedrin and try him. And Jesus tells them that he's done all these signs, and they don't believe because they're not of his sheep. They are not his sheep. And right after this, at the very end of chapter 10, which we don't read, they decide that they're going to stone him because that's the penalty for blasphemy. But these are the religious leaders, and the process for getting somebody to the point of being stoned is you have to have a trial, and the trial is at what's called the Sanhedrin, and probably some of the folks that are there with Jesus belong to the Sanhedrin, and yet they don't follow that part of the law. They just decide they're going to stone him. And of course, John tells us, and Jesus leaves that place, so they don't stone him. So again, this is Good Shepherd Sunday. Most of what you'll hear in song and in the readings have to do with shepherds and sheep and shepherding. So one of my best friends is a fellow named Bruce. And when we were at UT Knoxville, like many decades ago, we were both active in the Catholic Student Center. Bruce is still Catholic. Clearly, I'm not. So, but we remain good friends. Bruce has two children, and he and Mary raised their kids in Austin, because Bruce, for reasons that really I don't comprehend, loves Texas. Go figure. But anyway, so Bruce's oldest son is Beau. Beau is my godson. Beau is a graduate of Annapolis. He served as a rescue helicopter pilot in the Gulf War. He and his wife and two sons live in Seattle. Bruce's daughter, Meredith, is married and lives in Knoxville. And so when Bruce retired, he and Mary decided that they would move to Knoxville so they would be closer to those grandchildren. I'm glad that he picked Knoxville and not Seattle. I would never see him if he went to Seattle. And Bruce, again, remains pretty active in his church. And so he'll send me, and he's a newspaper man. He's a retired newspaper man. I don't know how many papers online and hard copies he reads like every day, but a whole lot. And so he'll send me articles that he just knows are going to be of interest to me, like articles about the bishop of the Diocese of Knoxville, the Catholic bishop of. And they're sort of interesting. And he sent me one just the other day, or he sent me an email, and part of the email was an attached article, which talks about the Bishop of Knoxville, who's Bishop Sitka, understand that a bishop is the chief pastor of the diocese. You know, whether you're an Episcopal bishop or a Catholic bishop, the bishop is the chief pastor. And the bishop is, in particular, the chief pastor to the clergy. And what the first article that I read said was that most of the priests in this bishop's diocese were dissatisfied with the bishop because they couldn't communicate with him very well. He wouldn't respond to them, and so on. And the most recent article that he sent me just a few days ago said that about a dozen of them had written a letter to the papal nuncio, who is an archbishop somewhere in this part of the country, who oversees the bishop, asking for his help, and they hadn't heard back from him either in about 3 months. And to my way of thinking, that's not really being a good shepherd. I'm not sure what kind of shepherd that is, but it's not being a good shepherd. Our bishop, Bishop Brian, is available like 24/7 to us if we need him for anything. He provides amazing pastoral support and so on. Bishops carry those funny sticks, the shepherd's crook, because that's what the chief pastor is supposed to do. But the other thing that Bruce told me in his email to me was that, well, he told me two other things. First, he said a friend of his had died recently, and he went to the funeral, and it was in a Lutheran church. And he got to this Lutheran church, and I don't think he'd ever been in a Lutheran church before, and he got to this Lutheran church, and they're coming up to the time for communion, and the pastor And if you've ever been to a Lutheran church, their liturgy is almost identical to ours. We can kind of flip-flop them, and you'd be hard-pressed to know what the difference is. So just before communion, the pastor said to everybody in attendance of the congregation that the communion was open. You don't have to be like a Lutheran to receive. And Bruce said, he went on and on, and it's almost like he was insisting that everybody come up to the altar for communion. In a good way, not like a weird way. And I don't know what a weird way would be, but I guess there is a weird way. But anyway, and Bruce was really positive about it. He said, you know, I went up, I took communion. So this is a good Catholic boy, you know, going up, taking communion in a Lutheran church. And he was really, he was positive about it. And the other thing he said was that one of his grandsons, Andrew, one of Meredith's children, one of the kids he and Mary moved to Knoxville so they could be closer to, is going to be baptized. He said sometime in June, it's got to be Pentecost. And they're going to be baptized in an Episcopal church. I'm not sure what that means for Bruce. I don't know if he's trying to tell me that he's kind of, I don't know, seen the light or what, but but I guess we'll find out, right? Or I'll find out. But all of this has to do with shepherding, with the Spirit, with the person who guides and guards the flock. And Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd. And he tells us specifically, my sheep hear my voice. And what we kind of anticipate in our mind is hearing, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and they know me. But what he says is, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. I know them, and they follow me. And that's an important distinction, at least in my mind. That's an important distinction. I know them, and they follow me. So, again, Good Shepherd Sunday, and I've been able to preach Good Shepherd Sunday most of these Sundays for the last 20 or so years. And for years and years, my knowledge of shepherds and shepherding, other than, you know, just the clergy stuff, was based on what my father told me. So my father came back from World War II, and jobs were pretty scarce. And his best friend had been a man named Earl. And Earl died in my father's arms somewhere during the Battle of the Bulge. My middle name is Earl. So my father and Earl's father, I only knew him as Dad Benjamin. I don't even know what his first name was. We're pretty close. And Dad Benjamin was a professor at Cornell in New York. And so, he lived somewhere like in the Finger Lakes area. And that part of New York is kind of up and down like that. The glaciers carved it out. And so Dad Benjamin contacted my dad and said that there was a job up there. He might want to come and check it out. And the job was being a shepherd. So my parents grew up in Mississippi and Memphis, and I don't know that they had really seen sheep before. But it was a job, and so my father decided to leave my mother in Memphis and drive up to upper New York State to kind of check this job out. My father was not a man of patience. He didn't last very long as a shepherd. That was not his calling, I'm pretty sure. And so when he told me about it later, much later, The information that he shared with me was that sheep are really dumb and they stink. And that's what I knew about sheep until just recently. So I don't know that what I know about them now makes them less dumb or stinky, but the one of the things about sheep is that the ewes will have the baby lambs about this time. The actual time, as I have read, is between December and June, but that's called the lambing, L-A-M-B-I-N-G, lambing season. And so in a pretty good-sized herd, a number of ewes will give birth, and some of those lambs will either be born dead or die immediately after they're born. And some of the ewes that give birth will die shortly after they give birth. And so we'll have orphan lambs. And the ewes that have lost their lambs are full of milk, but they won't suckle, they won't nurse these lambs that are not theirs. And so these baby lambs, these newborns, without mother's milk, they will die. And so what the shepherd will do oftentimes is they will take the baby lamb from the ewe that lost it, and they'll cut the carotid artery, and they'll get the blood, and they will wash the orphan lamb in that blood. And then this mother lamb will feed it, and it will live. So when we hear expressions like washed in the blood of the lamb, that's kind of where that comes from. It's life-giving. And so when we talk about Jesus as the good shepherd, Jesus is the one who knows us. I know my sheep. Jesus knows us. Jesus is the good shepherd. So as we go about our lives and as we go about the rest of this day, I know it's Mother's Day, but that's not part of the liturgical calendar. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. As we go about the rest of this day, Good Shepherd Day, and as you think about what you've sung today, what you're going to continue to sing, what you've heard, what you've read about, when you think about lambs and good shepherds, keep in mind that we are washed in the Lamb of the blood, the blood of the Lamb. And by virtue of that, Jesus knows us. Jesus knows us. Amen. Please stand. We will affirm our faith in song. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear when we pray in the name of your Son. Therefore, in confidence and trust, we pray for your church.
Risen Lord, you have bringing life and healing. You call us to be alive, bringing about justice and good health in the community. Awake us who sleep, raise us from the dead.
Christ will give us new life.
Bring a renewed passion for the good news to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace.
In the new Easter light, we proclaim your redeeming work.
Resurrect hope in broken places of the world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love.
Make us instruments of your peace.
Lead us from the empty tomb to be examples of your love, grace, and forgiveness. Inspire our leaders towards peace and cooperation.
In Easter, we learn to honor one another and serve the common good.
The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for Jim,
J.R. and Courtney, Pat, Gail, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Terry, Dale, Peter, Marianne, Kelly, Holly, John and Janice, Nicole, the family of Leanne Hampton, Paula, Margaret, Jacqueline, John, and Jenny, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Amy, Lori, Roy, Cheryl, the Alley family, Christina, the family of Lola Crest Betty, Cheryl, Jimmy and Dale, Afton and baby Bruno.
And anyone that you name?
For Kathy?
After you were raised, you ate and drank with your disciples. Bring us all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
Remind us daily to share in your eternal kingdom.
In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow large in faith and in hope.
Help us to reach out with Christ's life-giving hands. Christ has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace, Squire.
Please be seated.
Situation have been resolved.
just from the flower deal, we do have our signage up, so please take advantage of that. Really glad to be back and provide those for you, for those memories. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen and ladies, welcome. Good to see everybody. We have been extraordinarily blessed here recently with our food pantry. Probably not surprisingly, it is growing. Yesterday, we served 32 individuals, probably 10 family units. Last month, we served 395 meals. We need some boots on the ground, folks. We need some volunteers. Unfortunately, I have not been able to be as present as I normally would like to be. Lloyd and Jean Brooks, if you've met her, have been extraordinarily faithful in coming every week, as well as Gretchen. She comes most weeks. But we really could use a minimum of 3 people every week, because trying to take care of that amount of people is a tad bit challenging when there's only 2. So if you would please consider, we do have a sign-up sheet in the food pantry room, which I would be more than happy to show you where it's at. But we really could use some more physical assistance. Thank you.
Any other announcements?
I just want to say that the music here is just outstanding. Outstanding. Such a blessing. Let us pray. O God, who art the author of peace and lover of concord, to join you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries through the might of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray the general thanksgiving together. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.